Welcome to Heart of Now, a radio blog cast sponsored by the Respite, a center for grief and hope. And I am your host this morning, Mandy Epley. And as always, I am joined by my partner in crime, dear friend, and co-founder of the Respite, producer of the show, by the way, Cindy Bolero. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
Well, you guys, and I want to make sure that I give Cindy all the kudos that she deserves. She is such a huge support in making this radio show happen session after session, and I really appreciate all that big, vibrant energy that you bring, my friend. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
And we are excited because who's with us today is our third co-founder and third partner in crime and dear soul sister, Elizabeth Berrien. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm so happy that you're with us today. I'm really excited for people that have not heard your story to learn about you, to learn about your passion and your calling, and some of the work that we are now doing at the Respite. I really wanted to take the time to make sure that we highlight all of that because, for me, it is such an incredible story to tell and to share. So I think what, Cindy, what I'll do is just have you introduce Elizabeth officially. Anything you want to share about our incredible partner and colleague, and then Elizabeth, you and I will start launching into your story.
Sounds great.
Okay. Well, so Elizabeth is just a multifaceted woman. She is a coach.
Yes.
She's author of a really wonderful book called Creative Grieving, a hip chick's Path from Loss to Hope. She is a support group facilitator. She facilitates our Soul Widows group, which meets at the Respite twice a month. She's a speaker, she's a spiritual entrepreneur, and she's a very proud mom as well. And she graduated from the University of North Carolina in Asheville and then attended graduate school at the University of Missouri. She has become a certified creative grief coach. And then not too long ago, she went to something called Spirit Junkie, and she's completed the Spirit Junkie Masterclass Teacher Training Levels 1 and 2 with Gabrielle Bernstein. And we all loved hearing about that training. So Elizabeth is just a delight to work with, and I've just loved really getting to know her better over these last 4 years, and love having her as a part of this team.
Yeah. Aww. Thank you. So good morning, yes. Lady.
Good morning.
Hey there. So I want, I'm going to ask you, Elizabeth, the question that I asked, I ask all the leaders that are on the Our Hope Is Now program, and before I do that, I want to, for people that may be listening to this broadcast for the first time, whether you're listening live with us today or you download and listen later, what I want you to know about this whole show, this whole program, what it's based on, what it's about, is I had the honor and the privilege with, you know, the support of Elizabeth and Cindy, you know, their huge emotional and spiritual, psychological support to co-create the model of heart-centered grief with our dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi. And that process, the seven steps of grief and hope, we really want to share with all of you and get out into the world. It's such an inspiring process of how to move through life's losses And the last several shows I've been speaking because it occurred to me that these seven steps are the same seven steps that allow us to bring joy into our life as well. That paradoxically, they're two sides of the very same coin. And I thought to myself, how can we make the model, these seven steps, seem more alive and more practical and more relevant to people, for people to understand how to integrate these steps and tools into their own lives, that we don't necessarily have to experience a big tragedy, as many people that we know have. It can be an everyday loss. It can be a disappointment, a discouragement, you know, a breakup. It does not have to be necessarily related to a tragic circumstance. And that, how can we make this more relevant and more alive? So I was brainstorming, and really with the support of a lot of people, our good friend Andrew Harvey and my colleague Chris Soddy, I said, you know what, I want to start interviewing people and have them share their stories and tie their stories to the steps to make it more real and to put, the way I've been saying it, you know, flesh on the bones of the model. And I know for me and for each of us, listening to people's stories, you know, like really hearing, like, you know, how did they make it? How in the world did they navigate that and get through that and keep breathing and co-create with life a new vision after a lot of loss? So that's the purpose of this show, to encourage you, inspire you, give you information, and help you better understand how you can access these seven steps of the model. And plus, it's just plain old fun. You know, it's so fun to talk to people about their stories and to hear their wisdom and what helped them make it in the world. It just, you know, it fuels my soul and keeps me going as well. So I think a big part of it, I'm also, you know, and doing it to encourage myself. So today's step, we are going to once again explore step six of the seven steps, which is service. I can't seem to get enough. I mean, it's like I just want to interview 5,000 people around their story of heartbreak and heartache and how that catapulted them into their calling. And here, the individual stories are so inspiring and encouraging and give us hope and learn that service really does bring an alchemical healing and help and support in a way that nothing else does. So having said that, I want to welcome you again. Thank you for joining us this morning, Elizabeth. And the question I've been asking, which is so powerful, is, you know, share with our listening friends, you know, what has been one of the great heartbreaks in your own life, and how did that lead you toward your sacred calling and the work that you're doing in the world?
Yes, I'm happy to share. Well, I went through two very significant losses at quite a young age. And at 26, I lost a son to stillbirth, which was a huge shock. It was a very healthy 9-month pregnancy, and we lost him during labor, and completely turned my world upside down. And so I went into deep grief and was trying to work through those emotions and the upheaval that that created. And while I was in that process, I ended up losing my husband as well, only 20 months later. And he was, at the time, serving in the Special Forces, and he was killed on a mission. And so those two things just completely crumbled my reality and brought me to my knees. And really forced me to wake up in certain ways and figure out a new path. And so I really, at the time when those tragedies first happened, I really turned to my family and friends around me for support. Mm-hmm. And they could give me a certain amount of support, but I also realized that I needed to go deeper than that, and I needed to not only do personal work through counseling, but also seek support with other people who'd gone through something similar, because it can be a very lonely and isolating path when you've gone through something so devastating, and often you can feel like you're the only one. So
yeah,
I really started this path of healing and transformation, I believe, from the moment I lost my son is when that started.
Yeah. Yeah. That just from those losses immediately, how that, as you said, brought you to your knees and left you in a space of, just completely feeling lost and numb and shocked. And then, the question then becomes for all of us when we experience loss that, shakes us to our core is, where do we go from here? What do we do from here?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So in that process for you of, being really annihilated, your view of what you, we all have these dreams, don't we? We have these dreams that, when we're young people and children, and for young girls, not all young girls, but for a lot of young girls, it's, one day I'll grow up and I'll get married and I'll have babies. And, then, right? We're
exactly.
Really, yeah, we're really, there's something so biological and instinctual for many women around that. That's not every woman's calling, and that's equally blessed as well. And mm-hmm. and for women that's, in their cells, and then, of course, our culture, we're spoon-fed that from the moment, Disney's got us, we're spoon-fed that from the moment we, come out of our own mother's womb,
That's true.
We are, and so for you and Brian to find each other, and, you guys have such a, your love story, I always love hearing your sweet
yeah.
love story. Can you share with our listeners, just the, the spark?
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's funny because Brian and I were just from two very different worlds. He was this big, tough military dude, and I was I still kind of am, I guess, but more of a hippie and free love and all that kind of stuff, and
yeah.
very, on my spiritual path. And then here comes this rugged, handsome guy, and I was just so attracted to his fire and his fun personality. And
yeah.
We actually met online, and we started just writing these novels to each other back and forth. And then the second we finally met in person, it was just, that's it,
Right,
I don't need
right.
a question anymore. This is the person.
Right.
This is the one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just such a incredible meeting, and the way we flowed into our relationship so just naturally. And I think we really complemented each other in a lot of ways. And, he taught me a lot about strength, and I think I taught him a lot about compassion. And so
yeah.
our growth together just in the 4 years that we had was so intense and so beautiful. And,
yeah.
So I'm always so grateful that I had that time with him, and
mm-hmm.
that, I think he gave me a lot of tools just to handle what I've gone through. So
yeah.
I have a lot
yeah.
of blessings from that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so beautiful. I love hearing about two things that I really adore, and I did not know Brian. Brian, you know, his spirit, you know, I mean, who, the sense of who he is, you know, through you. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I always love is just what a daredevil he was. This guy was like, I mean, y'all, this man was like a badass. I mean, he, you know, sucked the juice out of life every minute. I mean, that's really like the kind of, you know, daredevil, you know, human being, you know, special forces, you know,
yeah.
really, you know, super brave, super courageous. I mean, you know, a true warrior.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that is, I mean, I can see how you were drawn to that. I mean, that is so sexy, you know, just so hot, you know, and,
yes.
it, and he was just absolutely adorable, you know,
yeah.
And I love, I mean, one of the things that also really just has always grabbed me in my gut, being, you know, a hopeless romantic myself, is, will you share with our listeners about what happened when you all got married? I mean, just all of that is going to blow. I mean, when women hear this, they just swoon, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely pretty rare, I think. But yeah, he had planned our entire wedding, and you know, I had sort of been waiting for the proposal to come. And while he's over in Afghanistan on duty, he planned the whole thing from overseas and comes back from deployment, and he asked me if I would like to fly to Colorado with him to go pick up his daughter at the time, because she was living out there with her mother. And, you know, I said, okay, you know, that would be a fun trip for us. So we get out there, and he's acting kind of strange and pacing around the airport and on the phone with somebody, and I'm trying to figure out what is going on. And finally he says, okay, you know, we can go get a cab now. And I walk out the doors, and there is a limo with a sign that says, marry me. And instantly, I'm freaking out. I'm so excited. And, you know, it was just so public and it's fun and exciting. So we get into this limo, and he says, so how soon would you like to get married? And I'm like, well, you know, as soon as possible would be awesome, you know, given that he was going back and forth on deployment all the time. And he says, well, how about tomorrow at 9 o'clock? And he had already called ahead at the bridal store and booked a time just for me to go in and get a fitting with the employees. And he had already set up his tuxedo rental. He had a spa day all figured out for me to get my hair done and my makeup done. He thought of it all. And he even hired a photographer. And so now we have these, you know, gorgeous pictures of this wedding in the winter in Colorado and at this gorgeous romantic inn. It was so just over the top amazing. So that's one of my favorite memories.
Oh, yeah. That's so special. So, so special. I just adore that story. And I just imagine anyone and everyone who hears it just touches their hearts. I mean, that it's just, it's so sweet. It's so full of love and so about the present. I mean, his energy was so about the present and the now, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It definitely was.
Yeah. I mean, he really taught you about the now and being fully here now. And I mean, it certainly has, you know, reminded me again and again when I hear about his life and then your losses together, the loss of your son. And then, you know, within a short amount of time, you know, his death. So I want to give you a moment just to say anything, I mean, more than a moment, but anything that you know, want to share and want to add around, you know, his death and more about what helped you, you know, really move through that annihilating time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you know, I'd always seen him as my rock. You know, he was always, you know, the tough one, the strong one. And so when he died, I really felt for a while that I was very helpless. You know, I thought, how can I do this by myself? You know, he's the one that really helped me originally through our son's death. And so I didn't have him to lean on anymore suddenly. And, you know, it just felt so empty. My world just felt so empty. And
yeah.
I just knew that I couldn't just hide away and be alone and isolated in a room for the rest of my life. You know, I needed
yeah.
I needed humanity. I needed communication. I needed support around me. I needed to be able to talk about it. And,
yeah.
you know, I spent a lot of time, a lot of nights. My two older sisters, who are just phenomenal, have always been amazing support. You know, they probably listened to me for countless hours, you know, talking about
yeah.
him and going over events. And I gradually transitioned into attending a support group. And it was one that my sister had found locally. And it was for young widows and widowers. And, you know, I felt that was like my first taste of that world, you know, of, okay,
yeah.
there's other people
yeah.
in the world that are hurting the way I am, that have lost the love of their life, that are devastated and trying to figure this out too. And
yeah.
I think that was really the first step for me as far as taking steps towards living again.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, doing also just the one-on-one work, because I really needed space to process, you know, just all of the heaviness and all of the emotions, because it just weighs you down so much. It can just feel like you have an elephant sitting on you. So,
yeah.
you know, those were just baby steps into, you know, just gradually starting that journey. And,
yeah.
you know, it's not something that happens overnight. It's something that, you know, it's a process and it's gradual. And I have learned over time, you know, to just surrender to that more and more.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the surrender. I mean, that's so powerful that, I mean, you know, so many of us, and I know you relate to this, are impatient spirits. You know, I mean, we want it now, you know.
Yeah.
And we live, you know, one of the downsides of, you know, speedy, high internet, you know, fast-paced technology is that, you know, we think that, you know, everything, I mean, we begin to believe everything in life ought to be that way. You know, if it takes too long waiting at the ATM, you know, I mean, our attention span as Americans is really shortened. It's incredible. You know, I mean,
yeah.
It's amazing how technology has impacted our attention span. And I think that relates to, you know, the grieving process, is that, you know, at other times, you know, history and even in other cultures, even today, it, you know, there's an understanding that it's normal, if you will, that the journey is, you know, that it's a lifelong process when you've experienced the kind of loss that you have, Elizabeth, and that truly, like, the beginning shock in those, you know, beginning months, that we're talking, you know, 2, 3, 4 years in terms of, you know, rebuilding and shifting your worldview, that really is not, I mean, the psyche does not do that in, you know, tiny, instant, you know, speed of light. That's not how it happens, is it?
No. No, we can wish that, but that's not the reality. And,
yeah.
you know, I'm coming up on, you know, the 6-year anniversary of his death this August. And, you know, it doesn't feel
like 6 years, and, you know, on the other hand, it feels like so much has happened since then.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, there's times when I definitely, you know, feel sad, and I allow myself that permission to feel that sadness, because I'll always miss him, and I'll feel that loss. And,
right.
you know, in 6 years, I've also had so many amazing things happen and so many
right.
blessings that have come to me. And so they've really helped to sort of balance out the grief process and cushion it,
yeah.
you know. So it's just amazing the way things evolve over time, and you can still have that love and that sadness, but it's not completely consuming as you
yeah.
move through it.
Yeah, yeah. And that, I mean, and I think that really gives people hope, you know, and that's why I, you know, myself am so passionate about doing this radio program, is that it's so helpful for people to hear someone who has had the amount of tragedy that you have had to say, you know, you do move forward. It's, you know, you move forward to a space where it's not consuming you all the time. You know, beautiful things happen, that life does keep moving. And, you know, you're in the empowered place that you're in my view, because you've done so much of your psychological, spiritual, inner work. I mean, you know, you dedicated mm-hmm. yourself to your own journey. You know, you got intense help, you know, through
yeah.
psychotherapy, through, you know, a variety of healing strategies and techniques and modalities. And you know, on the one hand, that was for, you know, sanity and, you know, desperation,
yeah.
right? But you could have
yeah.
made other choices, and people do, you know. I mean, people mm-hmm. do make other choices than, you know, than moving through the intensity of the pain. You know, people make choices to just numb the hell out, which then
right.
impacts what their lives look like later. You know, I mean, you're moving through your life with an open heart, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you wouldn't be able to do that. You wouldn't be able to be open and build new relationships and bond with someone new romantically or do any of those things if you had not chosen heroically to keep your heart open and get support and help, you know.
Definitely.
You just couldn't have.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt that I owed it to myself to keep my heart open and to live, because, you know, I realized just how short life can really be. And, you know, I also wanted to just carry on, you know, this amazing legacy of the people that I love that died. And, you know, I want to honor them. And I don't feel like
yeah.
I can truly honor them unless I'm truly living.
Yeah, yeah.
So I made that a point and a goal of mine pretty early on, that I was going to live.
I love that. That to really, I mean, that is so powerful to honor the people that you loved, you know, you still love, to honor their lives by, I'm going to truly live. You know, I'm going to do that, you know, pay in gratitude to them by myself truly living. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
certainly, anyone who knows Elizabeth knows, you know, this is, I mean, where you match Brian's energy, you know, and who he was, is, you know, you equally are someone that's going to, you know, kind of suck the juice out of life, you know? I mean, you're someone that lives on that. I mean, you do. You live on that, you know, that plane as well, you know, that edge as well. I mean, you're not going to hold back, you know?
Yeah.
And
no,
you guys
not
really
me.
Yeah, right. If you go for it, you're going to go for it. So this morning when I was preparing for our interview today, I was remembering, and I wanted to ask you to share this from your point of view, because I have my perspective of how things unfolded. But I wanted you to share with our listeners when that moment when you decided, okay, you know, I want to go for the respite. And maybe before we do that, you know, you should say what the respite is. But, you know, I want to go for the respite and kind of like, you know, that interaction, that phone call, you know, that, yeah, I mean, I'd love for you to share that with our listening friends.
Definitely. You probably have a clearer recollection of what I said than I do, just because
yeah.
I was still in a fog back then, but I was so full of that passion, like, right, like, I knew this was the path. But, yeah, the rest of it, I'll just talk about that for a minute. That is our baby, our nonprofit organization that we started almost 4 years ago now. And
yep.
Wow, that's hard to believe it's been 4 years. That combines an amazing variety of holistic tools for anyone coping with grief and loss. So you can have any loss happen to you and you can walk through our doors. And not only can you get counseling or support groups, but you can also get services such as grief massage. You can get soul collage classes, which is a therapeutic art, and you can get yoga. And we also have a variety of workshops that come through. And, you know, it was my original vision when I was about 6 weeks into my grief process to where people who are hurting could go to feel safe. And, you know, I just moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and to me, you know, that was a larger city, and I grew up in a smaller town, and I wasn't used to things being far away. And
yeah.
I just remember how frustrating it was, you know, driving to one end of town to go to a counseling session, driving 30 minutes to the other side of town for a massage appointment. And,
right.
you know, it was overwhelming. And I honestly had to have my sister drive me because I was so weighed down in my grief. I didn't trust myself to even drive, especially in
yeah.
any city. So, you know, I just started writing down this plan. And I said, you know, I want this space to have a movement room. I want it to have a library. I want the counseling, I want the support groups, you know. What could I possibly combine all together that could meet my needs? And I knew that they would meet other people's needs as well.
Yeah.
So I had just begun the Soul Widows group, which is the group I lead for young widows age 60 and under. And I absolutely adore this group, and it's grown to about 120 members now. But in the beginning, we were holding retreats for the young widows. And Mandy and I had this beautiful retreat at an inn in the mountains near Asheville. And it was an incredible weekend. I think there were probably 8 widows there. And
mm-hmm.
we all took turns sharing stories, and we had support group time, and we made journals, and it was just a real bonding experience, and it gave the women
yeah.
just such an opportunity to get to know each other and to feel their feelings and to take time to take care of themselves. And so
mm-hmm.
after that powerful weekend, I remember driving home, and I called you, and I was just like, this is it. We have to do this. Like, this is what we're meant to do. Like, the response was incredible. And, you know, I don't care what you say, we're doing it, basically. I said something along those lines.
Yeah.
that's what I recall.
That is totally. I mean, that is totally it. Yeah. I mean, that is totally the essence of, you know, I mean, there was some profanity in there too, like, you know, you can't say no to me, you know, we are doing this. I just remember you were just like very, very ferocious eyes, like, oh, whoa. You know, you're like, we, you know, I don't, you basically said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. We have to do this, you know.
Yeah.
So that I will always hold that in my heart, always, always. And then, of course, as, you know, time went, you know, by and passed, we, you know, asked Cindy to help us with our 501c3 process and asked her to join us. And the three of us have been, you know, linked in this incredible journey in such an empowering way that has been life-changing for each of us. I mean, there's such an amazing mm-hmm. story there that we'll have
yeah.
to, you know, we'll really have to tell and put out in the world to encourage people around going for their dreams.
Absolutely.
And yeah, yeah. And so I wanted to ask you to, you know, really talk about, you know, your work, you know, how you, you know, what you want to share with our listeners about your work and about this project that you have been, you know, really carrying, you know, kind of carrying the torch for, that we are now, right now, beginning to launch at the Respite.
Yes, I'm so excited about that. Well, I've really been developing my skills as a coach over the past few years, and I currently love and enjoy reading twice a month our Soul Leaders support group, and it's just such an incredible healing experience for me as well to sit with these women. And, you know, they come so ready to work through their grief and their feelings and to share. And it's just been so rewarding and empowering for me to be a part of that. And so I've steadily been growing this group over the last several years. And I've also written a book, Creative Grieving, A Hip Chick's Path from Loss to Hope. And, you know, this is my story, basically. And it also has these letters that I wrote to the reader so that they can feel that, you know, there's a friend sitting there with them in the room when they're reading it. And the back of the book has these fun, creative tools that they can pull from. And it's great because I've gotten such nice feedback from not only widows, but also men that are grieving
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
people that are going through any type of relationship loss. They've said it's really impacted them and been powerful for them. And so that's something that I'm really proud of, and I've done some speaking around my book before. And this new program that we're starting, which is actually launching today, it's a project that I think I've probably been dreaming about this happening for the last 2 years at least. Is this online program called Heart-Centered Healing. And what it does is it offers full access to us wherever they are in the world, because they can log in monthly and get new content each month from us. It's just really special because, you know, I think a lot of the times that, you know, either people have a hard time finding the help they're looking for, or, you know, they can't physically get to a place for counseling or support groups, or they just want to be able to process things in their own space. And so this really allows us to be in someone's home with them, like a personal session almost. And it's fun because not only do we have you, Mandy, doing a Hope Is Now lecture or teaching every month, and that's always around a different theme. And so it's always going to be different and evolving. And then we also have a affirmation that people can print out, and it's a beautiful graphic that they can post anywhere to keep, you know, a healthy reminder of a goal or a purpose they might have. And then we have a meditation, which is an audio-led healing meditation that's also going to be changed every month. And then we also have a creative grief tool, which I lead on a video, which gives just fun creative tips that you can practice each month. And then we also have bonus material, which is either an interview with a thought leader or an author or a healer that inspires us. We might have some bodywork exercises. We might have some poetry. So it's just really, really cool because no matter where you are on your journey, you could be literally 2 days, you know, into your grief and your loss and feeling completely lost, or, you know, you can be several years down the road and you're, you know, you're just on your healing path and you just need that extra support or want, you know, that seek that growth, that personal growth. So it's really just amazing in that way. And you get to connect with us and we get to be there to support you every step of the way. And the other thing I love about it is that it's a great gift to give to somebody. So if you have, let's say, a loved one and they just, you know, went to the funeral of a family member or a friend and, you know, they're having a really difficult time, you know, aside from just sending them flowers, you can say, you know, I bought you this gift subscription to the Heart Center Healing monthly program. And, you know, they can do it monthly. They can do a 6-month membership. You can do a yearly membership. And it's just something that's always there. You know, they can log in at any time of the day or night and revisit the tools, revisit the videos. And it's just, it's so accessible. So, you know, we really wanted to be able to get our teachings and tools out to the world, and this is a great way for us to be able to do that.
Well, I mean, when I'm listening to you, I'm like, wow, that sounds amazing. I'm a part of that. I mean, I'm just like, oh my gosh, we're doing it. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, that sounds amazing. I want to be a part of that. You know, and what I love about it so much is, God, there are so many things I love about it. But one thing that I love is that, as you were saying, you know, people anywhere at any time can access support. And that's one of the amazing, you know, miracles of the web and the internet and smartphones. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a way that technology can really bless us. And, you know, we have so much knowledge and expertise, you know, combined, our team combined, and the experts that we know. And we have so much life experience. I mean, that's one of the things that I really adore is that, you know, we're coming from a very personal place.
Right.
And that, you know, each person that will be bringing their tools with us, you know, are people that, you know, we choose people that know, you know, that have walked the path themselves. And so that, you know, and I'm very also, you know, I'm excited that pretty soon in our launch, which we're launching this program today, and you can find that at therespite.org. One of the things that I'm excited about as well is pretty soon Cindy will be bringing one of her meditations that she's created. So that's super cool how we're all able to integrate our work and passion to you, to give to each of you, to share with you. And the other thing that I love about it is what that it truly has been born. I mean, that it's exactly what the model, the 7 steps, teach. that it really has been born out of our own losses and our own suffering and our own heartbreak and heartache, and that we, you know, really, I mean, we ourselves have been using these seven steps as a guide in our own lives to revision our lives and to, you know, take our losses and our suffering and allow the alchemical process to happen and, you know, to birth this service of giving back the different things we're each doing and what we're doing as a team through this heart-centered healing program. So that's something I certainly, I just wanted to give those words to our listeners and just also say that to our team, that that's, you know, that's really amazing and it's pretty damn cool. So I, you know, it's, yeah, it's really incredible. So, and I want to also highlight one thing that you said is that, you know, we've really been looking for a way that we can help you support the people in your lives that you're not sure how to support. You know, I mean, when people are going through a very painful loss, you know, a marriage that has ended that, you know, has dropped someone to their knees, or, you know, a true, just, you know, like Elizabeth experienced, just, you know, an obliterating loss that really does require the individual. It's so mind-blowing that you have to create a whole new worldview. You know, that so often we're not sure what to do to love on our friends or to support a church member that we know or a colleague that we really like or a beloved family member, and that, you know, this is something that you can purchase for, oh my gosh, super reasonable fee. We're asking for $18 a month, and you can find all that online at therespite.org to support someone, to give them that gift. So I also just want to say I love that, you know, this has been a brainchild that you've been holding and I've been holding with you. I mean, really, when we went to Cindy in the very beginning and said, hey, will you help us with our 501c3, in the very beginning, we were, I mean, you and I, just being these huge visionary kind of spirits, were like, all right, we want to do an online program. And 4 years later, yeah, here it is, you know?
That's right. Yeah.
So it's a great example. Yeah, it's a great example of remembering patience.
Yeah.
I'm saying that to myself. You know, it's like, you know, things will be born in their time, you know, in their time, and staying with it. So I wanted to ask, you know, what else this morning is on your heart around anything that we've spoken about, Elizabeth, that you want to, or anything new that you want to add in the time that we have left this morning?
Well, I'm just so excited about the work that we're doing and the way that it's evolved. And, you know, just knowing that we're bringing hope to others. And, you know, I just feel that through the work we're doing at the center and, or if it's through this online program, you know, it just, it's amazing to know that we're there for people and that, you know, we're following our heart's mission to help people heal. And, you know, it's just so rewarding. And I, it was really cool because I keep a blog on my author website and I, you know, I'll write a lot of different topics around grief and healing. And a lot of the times, you know, I'm not really sure who's reading it or if, you know, who's finding it. And I suddenly got this incredible, just a beautiful message from this girl in her mid-20s that lives in Israel, you know, saying, you know, I, you know, love your work and it's so inspiring. And, you know, I'm on a similar path to help others through my loss. And, you know, just to see that you know, we can connect with people throughout the world over this topic, this human topic.
Yeah.
It's just mind-blowing. So
yeah,
it's like the things like that that just keep me so motivated and inspired.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I am so with you on that, you know, and the exact same thing around the work that we're doing and wanting to put the model, these 7 steps out into the world. I know when we've had people purchase the model who live in Switzerland and Australia, you know, and in the Northeast, on the West Coast, I'm always, you know, telling you and Cindy, oh my God, you know, just the, you know, the power of the internet. And that's, friends, we hope that you'll join us, that you'll check out our program and check out whether this is a gift that you would like to give to a loved one and to really help us get this work out into the world. You know, the perspective that we have around working with grief and reclaiming joy and allowing grief to teach us about who we are is such an empowering perspective. And, you know, we have just a lot of amazing people who are out there sharing the same, you know, inspiring ideas, friends and colleagues of ours. And, you know, we're so happy to be a part of that message to humanity to help shift consciousness that we do not, you know, we don't have to run from our suffering. We don't have to numb it out. And we recognize, because we've each walked a path of our own, you know, how painful it is and how anxiety-provoking and scary and infuriating and difficult, you know, how human it is, and how much rebirth and renewal and beauty can come into our lives out of those ashes. And what's really important, you know, to me, and I think for our team at The Respite, is that, you know, we want to help keep that dialogue going in our culture, you know, and to push back against those oppressive messages that are telling us that, you know, you need to hurry up and get back to normal and not show that you're hurting so much because you're making all of us uncomfortable. You know, I mean, I hate that. I hate that. And I have a lot of empathy for that because it is hard to see people in pain. It's not easy. I mean, I've been working with people in pain for 22 years, and I met with someone yesterday that, you know, he was in so much pain, and there was, you know, there was a tragic death in his family to suicide. And I mean, it, you know, it shook me to my core seeing his suffering. And the more I stay in that with people and, you know, and run toward it, the more incredibly blessed I am, incredibly blessed. So we want to ask you to check out Heart-Centered Healing, to check out the 7 Steps of Grief and Hope. You can find us at therespite.org. And Cindy, I want to ask you, my friend, is there anything that you would love to share and to add after listening to Elizabeth and I this morning?
Well, I just say I learn new things about both of you every time I hear you talk. I had never heard the story of Elizabeth and Brian's wedding, so that was new for me today. I love that.
Awesome. Isn't
that
cool?
Yeah, and I am really excited about this new, you know, program that we're launching. And I, you know, have already had a couple of friends. I've, you know, been telling them that it's coming, and they both have had somebody, you know, close to them that has had something happen to them recently, and they've said, "Oh, I could send that to them, right?" And I said, "Yes." So I really do think that it's going to be something that could be used in that way and is a really meaningful gift, you know, to give someone.
Yeah. Thank you for those words, Cindy. I couldn't agree more. And I definitely want us to find a way to, you know, Cindy has this amazing singing voice. And so when we are able to upgrade our technology, I really want to find a way that we can incorporate that more and more and more into the whole Heart-Centered Healing program and even to our Hope Is Now show. I would love to open it up with you singing. We gotta talk about that, girl. I think it'd be so awesome. So, Elizabeth, thank you so much for your passion. Thank you for, just really on behalf of the heart, thank you for keeping your own heart open and for, despite the trials and tribulations in your own life, doing everything you can to really bring your gifts into the world to give other people hope. I mean, that is what it's all about, it's what it's all about. So such a joy to speak with you today. I just, oh my gosh, love you so much.
Love
your
too.
Spirit. and I really hope that this particular episode of Hope Is Now reaches a lot of people and encourages a lot of people and inspires a lot of people. So you guys all have a great weekend. Is there anything I left out, friends, before we sign off today?
Let's just say their website one more time.
Okay. So, friends, you can find all of this great stuff. What we're doing at the Respite, you can find out about Elizabeth's work. You can link to her author site. You can find out about the 7 steps of grief and hope, the model of heart-centered grief, brand new program that we're launching that we are really praying in each of our own ways, putting that out into the world, that it is really going to reach people all over through the power of the internet. Our new supportive program full of practical tools and information, inspiration, and support called Heart-Centered Healing. So we would love for you to reach out to us if you want to speak with any of the 3 of us or learn more about the work. You can email us as well and find us at therespite.org. Everybody have an awesome Friday. Many blessings, and we will see you next time. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.